All right, folks, get your finger out and pit your football knowledge against Team OTB to win big. There's €2,500 for the winner of the OTB Final One Standing League on the William Hill app. Guaranteed winner, and it's exclusive to our own league. Just sign up at William Hill Final One Standing. Use the code OFFTHEBALL, that's all one word and all caps, and make sure you sign up before Friday the 15th at 8 o'clock when the new season kicks off. €2,500 to the winner, guaranteed.
You are welcome back. So there were 28,795 spectators at Croke Park yesterday for Camogie All-Ireland Finals Day. You had Armagh getting beaten by Laois in the Premier Junior decider. First up, Laois beating them on a 2:15 to 12-point scoreline. Offaly, meanwhile, are All-Ireland Intermediate champions. They beat Kerry on a 14 points to 11 scoreline. And the main event, I think it's fair to say, delivered in spades. Galway 1-point winners in the end against Cork in a classic 114 to 113. Rachel Sheehan, who was at the Bonnington Hotel speaking to plenty of the Galway camp this morning, is now with us on the line. Rachel, how are you doing?
I don't know how many more defeats I can take, Owen. I'm beginning to think I might be the problem. This is the second time in a month I've had to go to another team's celebrations the day after.
You were at the Tip Hotel the morning after the Cork game, were you?
And in Thurles for about 8 hours that evening.
Yes.
Yeah, so I should be well used to it now.
We might get on to Cork in just a moment, but I think the first port of call here is not even Galway. I think it's actually the drama. And I think in a week where the president came out to call out the fans to come and support the game at Camogie because we expect a great spectacle this weekend, the senior decider lived up to it. The drama, the unpredictability of the closing stages in particular were absolutely fantastic.
It had everything. And even when you listed off, I'd forgotten there was a penalty at full time until someone said it, because that was so far gone in terms of drama. Like, you have a penalty saved, a red card, a goal in the dying stages, and a free to win it by the captain. And two teams that have been going head to head, or they have history, and that was evident throughout the match. It was, from a neutral's point of view or from a Galway point of view, it was definitely one of the best finals I've seen. It felt like, you mentioned the attendance there, it felt like there were so many more people there. Like, the crowd was so intense, especially for that last 10, 15 minutes. I can't remember watching a more tense Camogie match.
The penalty is worth discussing straight away here if you go through some of the key moments chronologically, because you're right, but when you read the match reports, rightfully, Kerry Dolan, long range free, and the red card seem to be getting most of the attention. But that is a huge moment in the game. In terms of it only being a yellow card, not a red, is there any questions about that? Is there questions at all maybe about the quality of the penalty? Or how is that going down in Cork, let's say, that whole sequence?
You could have had small questions, all right, for it to be a red, but I think I was happy enough that that's a yellow. I mean, we're calling long enough for physicality in the sport. I wouldn't really question that. To be fair to Aoife Donoghue, it was probably one of the best tackles you could make, you know, looking back now on how it ended up. I was really surprised to see Katrina Mackey standing up to take the penalty. Absolutely no disrespect to her, but when you have your two free takers on the pitch, Amy O'Connor, obviously she'd just been bundled up and she took a heavy knock. So I understand maybe why you wouldn't have wanted Amy taking it, but I would have thought maybe Saoirse McCarthy, who is, you know, so accurate from long range, or maybe even Circa McCartan, such a powerful, clean striker of the ball. So Ger mentioned it in the press conference after that they'd been taking them and that Katrina was flying with them in training. So obviously that makes sense when you hear it then. It was unlucky, but to be fair, credit to Sarah Healy as well. It was a great save.
It was one of those as well where, like, you're just completely using the benefit of hindsight here and saying, why doesn't the player bounce it off the ground? But it's easy to say that after the goalkeeper makes a good save in that instance. It's compounded, obviously, by Galway going down the other end very quickly afterwards and rattling the back of the net themselves. Murray Dillon could have taken her point in this moment. This was a hell of a finish.
It was. And even just before that, Aoife Donoghue, obviously, giving away the penalty, she comes up and scores a point herself and then assists the goal. Murray Dillon, she's been on that panel. I spoke to Colin Murray about her earlier today. She's been on that panel for a while now, and she's just really taken her opportunity this year to make the panel. And as you said, it would have been easy at that stage to pop it over the bar. She went for the juggler and it was a brilliant goal. Amy Lee might be slightly disappointed, but also it was a great finish, you know?
Yeah, it felt that Galway were going to need to take those opportunities at some point in the game. And I understand the tone that's come out of the Galway camp in the aftermath about being underdogs and people writing us off and maybe people getting it wrong in terms of writing us off. But I think that passage of play maybe showed how they utilised the underdog tag to their benefit in terms of their approach to this, because they might have told themselves, again, we don't know what they said beforehand, but they might have told themselves, we're only going to get one or two looks at goal here during this first half in particular. And when the moment comes up, we should be trying to go for goal here instead of taking our points. And maybe the underdog tag seeped into that exact moment.
Yeah, and against that Cork defence, they don't give away goals easily. So they were dead right to sniff it out when they had the opportunity at such a crucial point in the game. You're G'd up when you've saved a penalty. Saving a penalty can do so much for a team, and that gives that confidence. I mean, if Cork have knocked that penalty in and Mairead Dillon gets the ball, you're thinking she's probably just going to put it over the bar. It's settle ourselves now. We've just conceded a penalty. So it changes the game. But on the underdog tag, I was surprised to hear so much talk about it immediately after the game. I could be totally wrong in this, but I think maybe sometimes when it comes to Camogie ladies football, there's a lot of hype in the media maybe the week or two before the final. And for this game, it's an easy thing to latch on to say Cork are going for their three in a row. So I think that could have a lot to do with how much of the talk in the papers and in the media, the three in a row had to do with, and why Galway latched onto that so much. I mean, there wasn't a huge spoken about it in the Cork's camp. Obviously, people are posing questions to the players at media nights and everything, and they're going to answer. But I think that could have a lot of bearing on the headlines in terms of maybe people haven't been watching the games all year, and it's an easy thing to grab onto to say, right, Cork are going for three in a row. We don't maybe know a whole lot about this Galway team other than the fact that they lost badly against Cork in the league final and they lost out by just a goal last year instead of delving into the strengths that Galway had. So it was the perfect storm for Galway really going into it.
That's a good point about the women's finals. It's almost like the show rolls into town for a week, if we're being completely honest. Certainly when you look at attendances at All-Ireland finals compared to the rest of the season in LGFA and Camogie Association fixtures, it is inflated massively compared to the rest of the season. So there is a massive spotlight relative to the rest of the year on these finals. And it is the one week where Camogie gets a hell of a lot more coverage than it would at any other time in the year. So maybe that impacts everybody's experience of this as well. Being under the spotlight maybe is a more intense thing for people who play in the women's football final or in the Camogie final, which can go both ways.
Yeah, and they're used to it now. I think the players, that they get a lot more exposure, obviously, than they used to do. But I think it really worked to Cathal Murray's benefit to latch on to this idea that we are the underdogs. I mean, I spoke on the breakfast show last Friday saying this is exactly what Galway are going to want to hear. You know, and Cork would have known that too. So to be fair to the Cork team, it's not like there was any cockiness or confidence with them going out and listen to any players of the interviews during the week, and they were just focusing on the game on Sunday. And I think that was clear in the way they came back at halftime. You know, it wasn't that they were absolutely rattled. I mean, they played the second half with 14 players and drew the game.
Cork were 4-1 on as well to win the game, while Galway were 7-2. It's not just a media question here in terms of which aspects of sporting life in Ireland favoured one or the other. And also, if you're looking for a headline, no matter what the game is, with all due respect to whoever you are, if there is a team going for three in a row chasing insert county here is going to be the headline. That does not constitute disrespect towards Galway. However, each to their own, and you can clutch at every single straw. And look, even Colin Murray said it himself in his conversation with you this morning at the hotel. You will look for anything to give the girls an extra 1% or 2%. But it's also fascinating to hear how differently they have latched onto different aspects of it. Like he said to you, and we will play these clips now very shortly, he said to you the drive for three from Cork's standpoint, stopping that was not a motivating factor whatsoever. And then Eilish, who we'll hear from soon as well, said immediately after the game yesterday, everybody was talking about three in a row this, three in a row that all week. So it really motivated her. So even within the camp, the motivating factors are different for each individuals, never mind for different teams.
Yeah, and I guess it's just you put it out there into the group in the week or two before the final and you see what sticks. But Eilish has been playing, you know, she's got her fourth All-Ireland final last year, so maybe that's something for her. She's probably been involved in stopping Cork's three in a row before, so it might be personal for her, in players that are playing in their first All-Ireland final, all they want to do is win because it's a first final for them. So it's an interesting dynamic to do, see what motivates different players. But it works. It worked for the whole team because it was front and centre of all of their minds immediately after the final whistle.
I do want to run through just a couple of the other incidents yesterday, Rachel, before we get into the audio, because it was a game packed full of incidents. The Hannah Looney red card, I'd imagine that's the moment everybody sits up in their seat, even though there's a break pretty much immediately afterwards, where everybody's like, right, this is very much game on. I never understand anybody who strikes out in hurling or camogie, given players are wearing helmets. You're going to do very little damage to the person you're seeking to do damage to. It's a moment of frustration. She's going to regret it. I guess there's absolutely no question about it at that moment. What I am wondering, Rachel, is this the culmination of something throughout the first half? Is Hannah Looney constantly getting wound up by the opposing players? Had there been other flashpoints from being in the stadium yesterday, or was this just one of those moments where somebody kind of lost their cool for a split second and a costly second at that?
No, I think it shows the ferocity that Galway brought from the start. We saw it in the semi-final against Tipperary. They were up in their faces, especially that full-back, half-back line against Tipperary, and we saw it from straight away. Now, Cork would have been expecting that. It's not like they went into this naive thinking this is going to be, you know, just a camogie battle and nothing else. So probably should have been expecting it a bit more. And I think it's just one of those heat of the moment things. I mean, it wasn't even you'd say something if it was a real heavy strike with the hurley. It was a moment of madness. And I mean, like, Hannah's a clubmate of mine. She's not a dirty player. She doesn't have a dirty pun in her body. And she's going to regret it. But I don't think they can have too many questions. As soon as you reach up near a player's helmet these days, you're asking for trouble. You are.
How did the approach of Galway then change after that? I'm sure Cork definitely had a motivation then to kind of, that they had a greater cause in that second half. Galway with the sweeper in the first half, did they alter things, or how did their approach change when they were a player up for the second half?
Yeah, so they still had the sweeper, but it just allowed them to hound the Cork players even more. Like, when there was one Cork player in possession, you had 3 and 4 in the first half attacking them, but it nearly allowed them to keep that momentum up. Niamh Rockett spoke on Off the Ball as well, saying that Waterford tried to do this to Cork in the semi-final, but they could only last with them about 35, 40 minutes. I think having that extra player yesterday really allowed Galway to press on 3 or 4 players to every Cork player, and you're almost getting a little bit of a break in that. So that's, I think, where the extra player came in more crucially, because we still saw on the opposite side of things, Laura Tracy had a phenomenal second half. And you'd think when Galway were a player up that her kind of sweeper role would have been taken out of it. And she wasn't able to sweep as freely as she usually would have, but she got on a world of ball and she won 2 or 3 unbelievable frees. So Cork, you know, the age old saying, they almost played better with 14. I think it just allowed them to take the shackles off. Obviously, there was expectation and pressure on them going in, and you're nearly going in there at halftime saying, look, what else can go wrong? We're down to 14. We're probably not playing the best camogie we've played. Let's just go out. And they did. You know, they absolutely brought the fight to them. I thought Saoirse McCarthy's, the way she held her nerve over those couple of long-range frees to keep Cork in it, were outstanding.
Yeah, and some of the long-range shooting yesterday was absolutely brilliant as well. So obviously to come from 5 points down, a player down at halftime, to almost snatch this or send this potentially to a replay, it was a very, very impressive second half from Cork. When Orla Cahalan hits the back of the net, though, you're kind of thinking more for Cork at that point. You think that the momentum has completely swung in their favour, and I'd imagine the stadium represented that yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, I think I probably lost the run of myself a small bit when that goal went in. But it was the first time in the second half where you didn't feel like you were frantically chasing the clock, frantically chasing the game. Obviously, it was nearly over, but we're even now, you know, and the confidence has to be up after scoring that goal. But all credit to Galway. And every player I spoke to in the hotel this morning said the exact same thing, that as soon as they conceded the goal, they knew they were going to win that ball back. They knew they were going to be the first to score. Kerry Dolan said it, Aoife Donoghue said it, Ailish O'Reilly said it. They had that belief, because it would have been a really easy time for them to crumble and say, oh, look, we pushed them, we did our best, but they got the rub of the green at the end of the day and got over us. But all credit to Galway there, they pushed on.
The crucial aspect at the end as well, other than Kerry Dolan's brilliance with that free, and look, It was a free. The referee had to blow his whistle at this moment, but it did feel as if the ref swallowed his whistle to a certain extent over those last 5 minutes, and it just added to the drama.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't had like a proper look at that last free yet, to be honest, because we're hearing lots of different things. People are saying it's free. Other people are saying it wasn't. Maybe it didn't live up to the physicality of the rest of the match where other things were let go. But I suppose in the dying moments of a game like that, you just have to be a little bit more careful. But it was so good and so free-flowing. Obviously, some poor calls along the way, but that's going to happen. When you let games flow like this, it's like the Munster hurling final all over again. Yeah, of course, there were some blatant frees, but it comes at the price of a real free-flowing game.
And to be fair to Colin Murray, he's been pretty magnanimous about some of the refereeing approaches when it comes to certainly the charging rule and how that rule needs to change next year, which is a fairly gracious thing to say in victory. It's very easy to say, no, everything's totally right with the game in victory. But he was speaking to you, as I say, this morning at the hotel, and you can have a listen here to Colin Murray speaking about the refereeing performance in the closing stages of the game yesterday evening.
There's been some talk over Justin Heffernan's performance as referee, but you were on the end of some controversial decisions last year as well. Do you think it's just kind of evened out now?
Ah, yeah, I suppose. Look, it's easy to say when you come out the right side of it and you win. But, like, listen, I think the main thing we want to see in referees, and I think it's gone back since the Ireland final in 2018, I think everyone, every manager, every team, every player comes out and says they want to see more physicality. They want to see the game be let go. And I think there was huge physicality yesterday. And, yeah, that's just in style of refereeing. We knew that coming into the game. I think Cork knew that coming into the game. That's the way he goes. He lets it flow. He lets the game go. And, listen, to be honest with you, I thought it was a great game. I thought it was a great advertisement. I love to see that physicality. I think everyone loves to see that physicality. It was a game for the ages, I felt. I think it was really, really exciting. And, I think we should be looking at the positive side of that. And, yeah, look, it's okay. Cork feel aggrieved with a few decisions. Look, we did feel aggrieved with some of the decisions last year. That's how it goes. It probably does balance itself out. You need a bit of luck to win an Earns. And, lucky enough, we got that bit of luck yesterday, and we're just delighted with that.
Colin Murray there, Galway Camogie manager, speaking to Rachel Sheehan, who is with us on the line at the moment this morning. And yeah, the physicality that the referee allowed to thrive, this is what we want to see. That the last 5 minutes of the game is what people will remember. Like, as you rightly pointed out at the start of this chat, people kind of forget what happens in the first half of these really close games, and it's actually what happens at the end. And the referee deserves some praise. Maybe that Carrie Dolan free being awarded might not go down the best in Cork, and maybe it wasn't the most amazing decision, but other than that, it seemed like the physicality was being rewarded.
Yeah, and I asked the Galway team this morning as well, did it feel as physical as it looked? Because it looked like something altogether different than I'd seen this year at all the Camogie games. Bar maybe the opening half, the semi-final with Cork and Waterford was up there as well. And they all agreed that it was a different gravy yesterday. But that's great. Like, it's what we want to see. It's the benchmark now. And obviously, if you're coming out on the winning side of this, you're saying it's the best final that you've ever seen, and it's great to see such physicality. But for the good of Camogie, I'll say it was a great final.
That's very, very diplomatic of you after the experience yesterday, I'd imagine. What we're going to do is we'll play another clip here now. So as I say, out at the Bonington Hotel this morning, here is Ailish O'Reilly speaking to Rachel.
Orla Cahalan's goal goes in.
Yeah. To be honest, but maybe previously we would have panicked, but we've shown resilience the last couple of years with this team, that I kind of looked up and I was like, look, we have another chance. We still have 3 or 4 minutes to get a score on the board, and luckily Kerry, I mean, to do what she did, unbelievable. I deserved like winning score of any final.
How long did the extra minute or two after that feel?
So long. I honestly thought it was going up and down, up and down. It was so actually hard to even hear the whistle at the end. The crowd got so loud. Thought it would never come, but absolute relief when it did.
Ailish O'Reilly there in conversation with Rachel at the team hotel this morning. I think it's probably worth just speaking a little bit specifically about Ailish. She has 4 All-Ireland medals at this point, which is in its own right a stunning statistic, a great haul for any career in Gaelic games. But I think what we need to remind people of here, Rachel, is that represents, what is it? My maths is terrible. 80%, less than 80%, 75% maybe of Galway's overall haul. She has got 4 out of the 5 all-time wins for Galway. The only time they won the All-Ireland before the career of Ailish O'Reilly was back in 1996. It's the only other time Galway won the All-Ireland. So she has been at the forefront of a golden age for Galway Camogie.
Yeah, and It was something that surprised me. I couldn't believe that this was only their fifth title. It just feels like they've been in the conversation for so long now. Like Cork, Kilkenny, Galway have been setting the standard, and I couldn't believe that it was only their fifth title. And speaking as well this morning, they played 17, they played 22 finals and lost 17. It's like, that's ongoing. And this team alone, they knew where to pull from that hurt. You know, when you hear a statistic like that, you say, look, maybe they did deserve a rub of the green at some stage, and it definitely came their way yesterday. But Ailish O'Reilly, the semi-final, like player of the match performance, 5 points from play. She popped up yesterday as well, exactly when she needed. Like, she scored an absolute peach of a point, put four between the sides in the first half. And she's just, anytime there's a ruck, she's hovering around there and she's getting that loose ball. She was phenomenal as well yesterday. And herself and Aoife Donoghue, they probably covered every blade of grass in Croke Park.
It is actually remarkable when you consider that historical context for Galway, that they were one win and 14 defeats in their first 15 All-Ireland finals in Camogie. So that is the story of Galway Camogie basically up until 2013. You know, you've won this thing once, but this has been a team that has lost on the biggest day. Since then, they've been 4-3. So they've actually got a winning record in All-Ireland finals since then. That's a 180 turn on a county's camogie culture.
Yeah, and like, not to mention they have the under-23 title this year, which they beat Cork in, and they were also underdogs in that. I mean, Cork had beat them well in the group stages, and that's Cathal Murray. He's in charge of that team as well. And they also won the under-16 this year, and they were beaten in the minor. So Ailish says it as well, like, they probably haven't gotten the trophies for how successful they've been and how good of a team they've had. But, I mean, they're coming to the fore now, and you see Cathal comes in and he's won 3 All-Irelands in the short space of time he's been involved, with a real differing panel as well. Like, a lot of the talk at the start of this year was, how are they going to deal with out the likes of Aoife Keane and Niamh McPeak, who are injured, and the McGraths, who weren't involved, and Niamh Kilkenny stepping away. So not only has he done it with the strongest group, he's done it having to bring up younger players and, like, maybe find players and bring them in when other managers maybe wouldn't have given them that goal.
One last clip we just want to play from the team hotel this morning is Shauna Healy. So here is Shauna in conversation with Rachel at the Galway team hotel.
It told yesterday, like, your full back line, it was something we talked about going into the match, that was maybe going to be the winning or losing, the Galway full back line against the Cork full forward line.
Oh, yeah?
Clearly you came out on top. The fire that you came out with was... We saw it in the Tipperary match, but yesterday was a different level, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't hear any of that. No, I don't read it, or I don't listen to it, to be quite honest. But yeah, sure. I mean, sure, we have to be on top for a game. The girls there are absolutely class all year. Like, they're the best, you know, they're so solid, and they're just brilliant women. They're brilliant, you know, leaders, and they're great support, and they're just, you know, they're women that I'd have beside me every day of the week, so... I knew they were going to do the job.
Great stuff there from Shauna Healy in conversation with Rachel at the Bonington Hotel this morning. Just two quick things before we let you go, Rachel. You mentioned at the top of this, Anas Harbilis for Cork Gaelic Games, two spectacular final losses, I think it's fair to say, for very different reasons. This was just a spectacular game yesterday, but obviously the red cards in both finals are going to play a part, and the collapse in the hurling final is going to be long remembered. Now, Galway did lose 3 finals in different codes last year, so maybe there is a little bit of hope to be taken from the victors yesterday.
Ah, there is. And it's not like Cork went out yesterday and, like, completely underperformed. You know, like, to bring it back, it just showed what that team is made of, that calibre of girls. They stood up when it really mattered. And obviously they're going to be sickened to lose that game, but you have to just give all the credit to Galway yesterday. They were... ferocious, they were tenacious, they took every single chance that they could. They had to be at their very best to win yesterday, and they were. So Cork will probably feel aggrieved, and I hope that we'll see all of those players out again. I don't know, will we? It could be the end of some illustrious playing careers for Cork Camogie. Hopefully it won't be, but, you know, they owe us nothing as a county.
Lastly then, as I mentioned, 28,795 people at Croke Park yesterday. There were hopes that the number could tick closer to 40,000 and certainly try and beat the record from 2007 of 33,000 at Croke Park. Falling kind of short of that, and, like, well short of the women's football final attendance. What do you put that down to? Because we've got to remember here as well, six different counties represented yesterday, which hasn't been the case in recent years, given the previous intermediate rules for championship structures.
I don't think anyone was truly expecting 40,000, maybe outside of Brian Molloy and those in the Camogie Association. If you spoke to anyone during the week or two, we were thinking around 30, just maybe less, and it was spot on. The LGFA, look, they've had better attendances for the last couple of years, and obviously you have to put a lot of that down to Dublin. You know, if you've got a local team playing, it does make a difference. And you take a look at the teams that were involved yesterday. Kerry, phenomenal achievement, their first intermediate Camogie final ever at that grade. But 12 of the starting 15 are from the same club. So that's not going to bring huge numbers. It's great for Kerry and not to take away from them, but that doesn't directly relate to massive numbers, especially when you've got the Kerry footballers 2 weeks ago coming up to Croke Park and winning. Yesterday's game itself will do wonders for people who'd only tune in on the final day, but people who only tune in on the final day to watch TV aren't going to just show up to Croke Park next year. It does, just because we had a good final, it's not going to guarantee bums on seats. I don't know what the solution is. I've been talking to everyone over the last week or two just to try and get their thoughts and opinions on it. And it definitely feels like we need to ramp it up from the very start, from the start of the championship and the league. It can't just be a mad push for All-Ireland final day. But to be honest with you, Owen, I really don't know what the solution is. I'd love to have it for you. And I've been racking my brains trying to come up with ways that they can improve it, because there was a great atmosphere in there yesterday, even with the, whatever, 28,000, 29,000. If we can push it on a bit earlier, hopefully that'll make a difference. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that might not hurt. A 5:15 throw-in certainly isn't the easiest time for people travelling from Cork and from Galway. It is an All-Ireland final that's going to be remembered for a long, long time, though. Plenty of instant, plenty of talking points, so that can only be a positive thing in the long run as well. Rachel Sheehan, great stuff as always. Thanks a million, and commiserations.
Off the ball, GAA.
The talent in that team and the levels that they can get to, like, we haven't seen it yet. There's so much more in them. Not to make it any worse for you, but you ain't seen nothing yet.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.